Well, we move forward now into the rest of this program, our 378th episode, and of course reacting to the really kind of shocking news that this week we lost Davy Jones of the Monkees. I think he was 66 years old, 66 years old. Amazing. It's just kind of this weird thing. You thought they'd all be going forever, and it's that weird moment of like, okay, we lost one beagle, and then we lost another beagle. Because these things go through my mind all the time sometimes. I figure, wow, isn't it amazing that Fats Domino is still alive, and Chuck Berry played a concert on New Year's Eve in New York, and these folks are still here, and yet here and there, one by one, we also lose people like Mary Travers of Peter, Paul, and Mary, and now, of course, Davy Jones. But someone who has written about the Monkees in a book called The Monkees' Tale, and I think later renamed Monkey Business when it went into a second printing, is a fellow named Eric Lefkowitz. No relation, as far as I know. He even spells it a little differently from how I spell my name. But I welcome him to the neighborhood. He's on the phone with us. Where are you calling from, Eric?
I'm calling from Port Washington, New York.
Oh, my God, you're a Long Islander. You're a Lonsman.
Well, yes, I am.
Yeah. So cool. And how long ago did you write the Monkees biography?
Well, the original biography I wrote, The Monkees' Tale, was published in 1985. So I guess 27 years ago. And then I expanded it to include what had happened since 1985 in a new book called Monkey Business, which came out last year.
So what else did you put in there? In other words, what's been going on with the Monkees since, like, the middle 1980s?
Well, a lot happened to these guys from the point of departure of the first book. When I wrote the book, the Monkees' reputation, if there was one, was this strictly as a prefab band who had kind of disappeared into the mists of time. Occasionally, you'd see a rerun of their show and hear their songs on maybe oldies radio. But they weren't really estimated in a critical sense for their importance. And they had a massive comeback the following year, thanks to MTV, which aired all their episodes in one long marathon.
Right, I remember
which
that.
Which MTV then repeated over and over again. And the Monkees touched a whole new generation in 1986 and had the best-selling tour of that year. They placed a top 20 single called That Was Then, This Is Now. And it got even more interesting after that, just what happened between the, you know, members of the group. So there was a lot to write about.
Well, I mean, we did have Peter Tork on the show a couple of times over the years, so I kind of know what has been happening with him, and he's clean and sober, and then he had surgery a year or so ago. He had a throat thing, I assume, and I hope that he's better.
David, I'm going to have to... This connection has suddenly gone bad.
Yeah, you're the second person to...
I'm going to call you right back.
Wait, can you hear me at all before you hang up?
Now I can. Okay. Magically, I can hear you.
Well, it's our equipment has been really, really delightful today here at UNC Radio, but I'm glad you're still there. And I was just saying that we had Peter Tork on the show a couple of times, and he was talking about getting over alcoholism, and I know that one of the recent things was that he had some surgery on his throat or his tongue or something that he had to undergo. So I know what he's been up to, and I know Mickey Dolenz has been doing radio. What else has Mickey been up to?
You ask what else Mickey has been doing?
Yeah.
Mickey successfully toured in a number of musicals. He's got a great theatrical voice, really underrated voice, you know, and he's been in a series of musicals that have toured the States as well as the UK. He was in Hairspray last year, and he was a DJ, and... he's kind of a showbiz gadfly. He, you know, shows up wherever he's invited, provided that the check clears.
I've been trying so many times to get him as a guest on the show, and I'm just not quite big enough a star in radio circles, I'm afraid. It's always
I wouldn't put it that way. I would think that my take on it is like a little more cynical than that. I think that, you know, Mickey is a showbiz pro, and he does things, you know, that bring in some cash, and his dad was in show business, and I think this is just like his ethos, and I certainly wouldn't take it personally.
Oh, no, well, no, I take everything personally, but that's just me. And what about the real kind of oddball of the troupe? I mean, a brilliant oddball, of course, but the heir to the Whiteout fortune, Michael Nesmith, what on earth has he been doing?
Well, he's really a cosmic guy. I won't say I know him any better than the other guys, but strangely enough, although he was the most difficult person to reach when I was putting the book together originally, he ended up becoming someone who I've corresponded with off and on, you know, over the years. And so he's, you know, an email acquaintance upon occasion. And the last time I was in touch with him was for this new edition of the book. And rather than conducting an interview over the phone in the traditional sense, he asked me to go onto his website, Video Ranch, and to pick an avatar on his online world, and he would have an avatar, and we would meet at a certain space in his world, online world, and have a chat there. I found that really interesting and slightly odd, unnerving, but definitely interesting.
That's kind of cool. And was he himself, and were you yourself as avatars, or were you suddenly also in this other weird virtual role-playing world too? Or was it just
a role-playing world? It's like Papa Nesland. And I think you could still join up for a trial membership and check it out. It's a very forward-thinking website. I mean, you can sit there and watch movies at a drive-in movie theater with other people, other avatars, and make comments, you know, as you're watching the movie. He streams live performances on there. I think it's a real legitimate idea. I'm not sure if he's having great commercial success, and I'm not sure he's even looking for it.
He probably doesn't care. I mean, you know, although the Whiteout line must have taken a real hit when computers came into the fore. But they still sell this stuff. I know that. You can still find it in Staples. So now let's get to the real reason that we're talking to Eric Lefkowitz, Lefkowitz, and that is remembering Davy Jones. So what are your reactions to and memories of talking to Jones about your book and the anecdotes that you heard about him when digging up information for The Monkey's Tale?
Yeah, well, you know, I heard just from a friend. He passed away, and it was, of course, a shock, you know, because I've been studying this group for all these years, and so I feel, you know, a personal connection to them, and I was very sad to hear the news. I'll be quite honest with you. I expected Davy to be the first one to go.
Interesting. Why?
He lived a hard life, and I think his last few years were tumultuous, although I'm happy to say I think he achieved a great deal of success, you know, in the last year of his life by conducting a tour with the band and being the creative director of that tour. And I'm sure that brought him a lot of satisfaction, because here's a guy who really was the meal ticket for the whole enterprise, and yet was always on the short end of the stick. You know, I know he was short, pardon the pun, but when it came to getting control over his career, over the project, he was, an amazing entertainer, because he brought sunshine and light, you know, into people's lives.
But let me ask.
He could still pivot, you know, very well into the strange psychedelic shenanigans that they got into towards the end of the original run of the show and their movie. So I think he was a really capable entertainer who's probably never really had to rise to the creative heights that he did during that first era. I wish he had been tested more, because I think he really had a lot of acting talent.
Well, he was Tony nominated for Oliver before the whole Monkees thing came along. He was already kind of a musical theater star, both in the West End and on Broadway. Then the Monkees happened. But I am a little surprised to say that you're saying that he had a particularly hard life. What was, I mean, was it substance abuse or...
Well, I can't say for a fact, of course. There were some incidents that I detail in the book where, you know, there was a bar fight, you know, towards the end of his life. Where he was on stage and getting heckled, and, you know, maybe he had a drink in him, maybe he didn't. I wasn't there, but it made the wire services. He basically threatened, you know, to take the people out and, you know, start a brawl. I'm sure it was just a moment's, you know, he snapped for a second. But he also married for the fourth time, and the marriage apparently was controversial within the family. He was a very tight-knit family guy, but he was kind of a December-May marriage, I think that's what it's called,
you know,
to a much younger woman. He expressed, you know, a lot of affection for her. So I'm sure, you know, from his point of view, it was a great thing, but I guess a lot of people were kind of surprised. Davey was, he led the rock and roll life, even though we don't think of him as a hardcore, you know, rock and roller. You know, he, from a very early age, he was in show business. And so his career was a long one. Despite, you know, passing away at a relatively young age, 66, he was in show biz for, you know, 50 years.
Wow. Wow. And we are remembering the late Davy Jones here with Eric Lefkowitz, the author of, is it now called Monkey Business? Is that the new revised title of the book if people want to get the book?
Yes, it's called Monkey Business, and then the secondary subtitle is The Revolutionary Made-for-TV Band. I had to change the name from The Monkey's Tale for copyright purposes. This version of it is something that I actually... published myself, and so it's now owned by me and distributed by me through Amazon primarily, or you can get it on Barnes & Noble. There's an ebook version of it as well.
So before we let Eric Lefkowitz go, I do want to ask one or two more questions about some of the more unexpected or surprising things that you might be able to tell us either about Davy Jones or the Monkees in general that you were tracking down either for the first version of the book or for the revision. What are things we might not expect or that might be like, wow, I didn't know that?
Well, I think, you know, I don't like to stir the dirt up, but the guys didn't always get along. I think that's was, you know, well-known to any Monkees fans who studied it. I think there was real intense rivalry between Mickey and Davy. You know, Mickey got the lead vocals on their biggest hits until Davy came along and had a couple of big hits. And what really surprised me was that the Monkees fought very hard to get control over their recordings. And they finally won that right to go into the studio. And in one amazing week, they went into the studio and actually played on tracks with studio musicians, but they were on the tracks of Pleasant Valley Sunday, which was a top 10 hit, of course, and later Daydream Believer. What was interesting to me was that on the Pleasant Valley Sunday session, which was really the first significant recording session, you know, historically significant in their careers, that Davy wasn't present. And there was a couple of other incidents like that, like the Beatles management, the Brian Epstein, threw a party for the Monkees after their triumphant shows in the UK in 67. And Davy didn't attend those. And I think there was a difference between Davy and the rest of the band. I think Davy was a showbiz guy who you put the line on the floor and he hit his mark and he read his lines and he was a true professional that way. And I think the other guys were a little looser, a little more rock and roll. And I think Davey may have disapproved of some of their licentious behavior. You know, he was no choir boy, but, you know, Peter in particular, like, was quite the wild child during the Monkees. And I think Davey, you know, found that kind of dicey. At the same time, there's other interesting things, like he got married way before his fans ever found out. He was always rumored to be dating some sort of TV actress or other star. But in fact, he had gone off and gotten married. And I found that interesting because the Monkees were striving for credibility after kind of being denounced as just a prefabrication. And so the fact that they could hide certain parts of their private lives back in the day, now you'd never get away with it, I guess, yeah. But it's kind of amazing what happened behind the scenes. It's all there in the book, and I hope a couple of listeners can pick it up and check it out, because I believe their story is one of the most, of course I would say this, but I think it's one of the most interesting stories in the history of entertainment.
Well, to read The Monkey's Tale, a.k.a. Monkey Business, by Eric Lefkowitz, go to Amazon, go to, you know, the various places. And do you have a website of your own where people can...
Yeah, if you go to Monkey Business, of course, two E's with Monkey, monkeybusiness.com, you can get a preview chapter, you can get a link to where you can buy it, and also there's a collector's edition that a friend of mine did that... it's hard to describe, but you'll see it on the site. It has like a premium that comes with the book. It's for people who like to collect things.
Okay.
They're going fast, but check out the alternate cover and what comes with that, because that's something really neat.
Well, it's been great fun monkeying around with Eric Lefkowitz. Thank you so much for being in the neighborhood and sharing your memories and experiences writing about the Monkees and the late Davey Jones. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's always nice talking to another Lefkowitz. Take care, Dave.
Thank you so much, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.